Someone asked me recently about the importance of being a kana'i. How should one react when seeing a fellow Jew who sadly is not Shomer Shabbos and perhaps even publicly disgraces or desecrates Shabbos? What should my reaction be? Should I protest vocally, actively? Should I perhaps even, in ways somewhat more subtle, not necessarily visible by others, express my revulsion and protest at seeing what is undoubtedly a tragedy of fellow Jews being Mechal Shabbos? How must one react? So some of you may recall the beautiful story that Y.Y. Jacobson shared last year in his Hanukkah presentations that I passed along to you at one point in recent weeks. Gevalda Gemaisa of a Rav in Haifa, I think it was the 1950s, who was so disturbed by a Jewish-owned store that was open on Shabbos right next door to his own shul. And he pleaded with the store owner time and again, close your store on Shabbos, to no avail. And he comes to the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe, who says to him, when asked, what do I do about this secular Jew living next door to my shul who opens his store every Shabbos? And the Rebbe said to him, you should love him. And the response was, how am I supposed to love him? He's Mechal Shabbos publicly. And the Rebbe says, how do you know that you don't love him because he's Mechal Shabbos? Maybe he's Mechal Shabbos because you don't love him. Which is a gewaltige insight. So the Rav says to the Rebbe, so what should I do? So the Rebbe says, walk in next Shabbos morning as you always do, and this time just say, I'm here to tell you that I love you, and give him a hug. And the Rav says, okay, walks in, and the store owner sees him coming, and says, get out of here, I don't want to see you. And the Rav says to him, I came to tell you I love you. To which the store owner says, why do you love me? To which the Rav responds, because we're brothers. We're Jewish brothers. And he gives him a hug and walks out. And he does this every Shabbos for 6 months straight, walking in, I love you, Shabbat Shalom, gives him a hug. And after 6 months, this store owner on his own, without being asked, simply closed his store on Shabbos. I shared this story with my wife, and she shared with me in return a story told by Rabbi Fulda, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who for decades lived in Washington Heights, was a most beloved Rebbe at Yeshiva University. He was born and raised in Fulda, Germany. And he, one occasion, shared a story how in Fulda, for years, every Jewish-owned store was closed on Shabbos for as long as anybody could remember. That was, in Fulda, what they all did. Whether the store owners were from, not as from, they were all closed Shabbos morning. Finally, Rabbi Fulda said on one occasion, a store was sold to a irreligious Jew who said, I'm sorry, but to make a parnasa, I must keep my store open on Shabbos. And the town was aghast. And the Rav in the shul in Fulda got up that Shabbos Friday and he said, this evening, after shul is over, every one of you must walk by that store and wish the owner a good Shabbos. And that is it. And he told them, do this every Shabbos. Walk by the shul before walking home and just wish him a good Shabbos. And eventually this store owner came to the Rav and said, I'm closing my store on Shabbos. I've never experienced such care, such love, such concern, such appreciation for Shabbos as I've seen expressed by the members of this community over the past number of weeks. Two stories, both illustrating the same approach with regard to a fellow Jew who's not properly Shomer Mitzvos, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, Shomer Shabbos. Where's the kanos, you ask? What about all the screaming and the yelling and the protesting, and worse, that is expressed by those who consider themselves kana'im, l'shem shemayim, in all that they do? So allow me to share with you a beautiful thought of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu says to Shimon and Levi that you have an anger that should be cursed. Arur apam ki az. Ve'evrasam ki kashasa. Yaakov criticizes them. Ki ba'apam hargu ish. In their anger they killed a man. Referring to Hamor and the residents of Shechem. Says Rashi. Ba'apam hargu ish. Ubritzonam ikru shor. Their anger led them to kill the residents of the city of Shechem. And therefore, says Yaakov, their anger should be cursed. Achalkim be Yaakov, afitzim be Shalom. I'm going to scatter them. Scatter them around Bnei Yisrael, around Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov Kamenetsky writes as follows. He says, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, scattering them amongst Bnei Yisrael means that the Melamde Tinokos, the Cheder Melamdim, all come from Shevet Shimon. They scattered around the country to teach the children of Israel. So Yaakov asks, beautiful question. You're cursing their anger. These are individuals, Shimon and Levi, who killed because of their passion, their anger, in response to a crime committed by the residents of Shechem. Why are they Melamde Tinokos? Why are they the teachers of the children of Israel? Is that the best place to put such individuals in the classroom? So Yaakov says, apparently there is a value in having those who are most passionate, who are willing to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Torah, to transmit those values to the younger generation. But at the same time, says Rabbi Yaakov, Kanos is only a value when it is properly guided by Torah and limited by the parameters of Torah principles. He says, look what happened. Levi Taka was the Shevet that always stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for Torah. Egel Hazav, they killed out those who sinned with Egel Hazav. As but one example, they were the ones who were Mitzrayim, devoted all those years to learning, not to working, not to seeking money. They therefore became the Shevet that was capable of channeling that Kanos in the right direction. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen kills Zimri ben Salu for publicly sinning with a Midianite princess. There again, that Kanos. But it was channeled because Shevet Levi had Torah channeling it in the proper direction. Shimon, however, their kanos, went unrestrained and went awry. Shimon was the one whose prince, Zimri ben Salu, publicly committed that sin with the Midianite princess, publicly defied Moshe. Their kanos, their defiance, was unrestrained and therefore led them to sin. Not all kanos is good. Only kanos that is properly defined by the Torah and channeled properly is valued. Rabbi Yaakov writes, only Gedolei Torah in each generation are given the proper sense and keen insight to know when to object, when to express kanos, and when to remain silent. Only those who have the key to Torah in their hands can make such decisions as to when Torah Kanos is properly called for and when not. But for the average restless teenager roaming the streets of a Yerushalayim neighborhood, unrestrained, undisciplined, and yelling, screaming, protesting, thinking this is L'Shem Shemayim, if I were to ask Rabbi Yaakov, is that Kanos L'Shem Shemayim, is that Kanos that is valued? Well, his words are, only Gedolei Torah in each generation are given that keen insight to know when to express protest in a kanos fashion and when to remain silent. Only the Gedolei Torah are given that sense to discern when appropriate and when not. Along those lines of Moshe Tzuriel and his Sefer, Otzar Sator, Parshas Vayechi, also asks, how are you supposed to know when kanos is called for, when not? He says, the answer is very simple. Are you consulting with those greater than you first to determine whether your course of action that you intend to take is appropriate or not? When the brothers sold Yosef, thinking they were acting l'shem shemayim, Yosef is a rodev, he's trying to destroy us and to exclude us from the future of Klal Yisrael, did they consult their father Yaakov to determine whether their kavanos l'shem shemayim, whether they were misguided, whether what they were doing was proper and appropriate? When Yaakov criticizes Shimon and Levi for their actions with regard to the city of Shechem, they were of course infuriated by what Shechem had done to their own sister. Seems like a shem shemayim, doesn't it? But did they consult Yaakov first to ask what he advises as to how they should react? They didn't. And that's why Yaakov criticizes them. Because even if you think at times that you're expressing kanos, that is desirable, but if you don't consult those greater than you, those older than you, those wiser than you, the Gedolei Torah generation, then you can't possibly determine on your own whether what you're doing is appropriate or not. Such is the cautionary note that one must sound with regard to kanos and those that claim to be purely l'shem shemayim when yelling, screaming, protesting, objecting, or acting out in a way that they feel expresses kanos, which targets other Jews, even those that are perhaps not as religious as we wish they would be. Consider for a moment a beautiful comment of the Netziv, cited by Moshe Tzuriel. When Yaakov says about Shimon and Levi, "Bisodam al tavo nafshi," I don't want my soul to enter into their counsel. Says the Netziv, the Gemara on Tainus Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, "Haitzur me'rabbanon derosach," a Talmud Chacham who is angry, "Oraisehu derashchabei." It's the Torah that's firing him up. But nonetheless, says the Gemara, he must nonetheless train himself to act in a calm manner. Benichusa. So writes the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Even though when a Talmud Chacham is fired up and angry, it's because the Torah is firing him up. Even though Talmud Chacham says the Gemara has to be kasha kebarzel, has to at times be firm like iron, nonetheless, says the Gemara, a person must train himself to speak calmly, to act calmly. Because the Pasuk says, v'haser kas milibcha, remove the anger from your hearts, says Netziv, because through anger, you end up doing more than you should do. Even if the initial reaction and the initial shock or revulsion is based on one's Torah study, but if it's anger that mixes in, it is bound to lead you beyond that which is an appropriate limit. And you'll end up, says Netziv, doing more harm than good. So one has to always calmly react, train himself to react calmly. Perhaps a beautiful, beautiful lesson along these lines can be seen in the beautiful interpretation of the Malbim in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Eliyahu HaNavi, living during the times of the evil Queen Izebel and her evil husband Achav, Melech Yisrael. This was a time when Izebel hunted down every Navi Hashem that she could get her hands on and killed him. It was a time when there was rampant idol worship in Klal Yisrael. The Nevi HaBaal, the Nevi HaSherah, they were worshipping the Baal Nasher, including Achav himself, says the Pasuk, angering God. And Eliyahu Tishbi says to Achav, in anger, there will not be any rain these years unless I say so. Angrily reacting to Achav himself, worshipping the Asherah, angering God, building a mizbech for the Baal. Eliyahu Navi says, there will not be rain unless I say so. And ultimately, the Navi describes famous story how now in the third year, the Navi says, there's famine gripping the capital of the 10 tribes in Shomron. Eliyahu Navi, we then read, then challenges Achav to gather the 450 Nevi'e HaBaal, 400 Nevi'e HaAsherah, to come to Har HaKarmel. He assembles all of Klal Yisrael to Har HaKarmel. He challenges the Nevi'e HaBaal, Nevi'e HaAsherah, to attempt to bring fire down onto the altar that they were to erect and to build, and to burn the cow that they would place as a sacrifice on the wood. And they, of course, failed to succeed. And then Eliyahu Navi, in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does succeed in bringing down an Esh Min HaShemayim, an Esh Hashem, as the Pasuk describes it, to devour the altar, the animals, the wood, the dirt, the water. Klal Yisrael recognized Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. And Eliyahu Navi slaughters the Nevi'e HaBaal, and is then forced to flee the wrath of Izebel. And here is the famous description as Eliyahu Navi fleeing into the desert. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, when he approaches Har HaElokim, Chorev, he approaches Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Malacha Po Eliyahu, and Eliyahu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kano Kinesi, there's those words, Kano Kinesi, Lashem Elokei Tzvakos. I have expressed anger on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki azvu brischa b'nei Yisrael, they've abandoned your covenant. And God then instructs Eliyahu to go out and stand on the mountain, v'hinei Hashem over, and God will pass by. And the Pasuk describes a ruach gedola v'chazak mefarek har meshabris loim. Stormy, powerful wind. Lo baruch Hashem. That wasn't indicative of God's Shekhinah coming by. And after the ruach came a ra'ash, says the Pasuk. A trembling. And that did not signify the passing by of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then came an eish, lo ba'eish Hashem. And then came, says the Pasuk, a kol demama daka. And that, in fact, did signify the arrival of the Shechina. So Malbim writes beautifully as follows. Here's the key message here. that I'm leading up to. The Malbim says, what is the meaning of this Ruach Gedola v'chazak lo b'ruach Hashem, Ra'ash lo b'ra'ash Hashem, Eish lo b'eish Hashem, and then a cold mamadaka? Says the Malbim beautifully as follows. Malbim writes, Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show Eliyahu and all of his Nevi'im that what Eliyahu did with his Kano Kinesi Lashem Tzvakos, to withhold all rain for such a long period of time, to slaughter the prophets of the Baal, Eliyahu was acting with a Rosh Gadol. He was acting with a Ruach, with an Eish, with a fiery vengeance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not what I want my prophets, my emissaries, my agents on earth to do. Rather, I want you to act the cold mamadaka. I want you to act in a soft manner. Says the Malbim, V'yimshechu es ha'am ba'avosos ahava. Draw the people close to you with love, ubidvar mrakim, with soft words. In other words, tell them you love them. Give them a hug. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants his Nevi'im, his Shluchim, to reach out to Klal Yisrael. Not as Eliyahu HaNavi did, says the Malbim, Kano Kinesi. Even though Eliyahu was slaughtering the prophets of the Baal, he's dealing with an evil king who worships the Asherah. And there's no question Eliyahu Navi's Kanos was purely L'shem Shemayim. Well, Kanos today, one can certainly question, how L'shem Shemayim is it? To what extent are these young men roaming the streets really motivated by pure L'shem Shemayim, or to what extent they're just restless and have no other outlet other than to yell and scream and throw rocks? That's maybe today's Kanos. Eliyahu Navi's Kanos, there's no doubt, was purely L'shem Shemayim. And even so, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Avosos Ahava. I'm looking for Dvar Mrakim. I'm not looking for Ruach Gedola V'Chazak. I'm not looking for Ra'ash. I'm not looking for Eish. I'm looking for a Kol D'mamadaka to express a love to your fellow Jew. That says the Malbim here is the message of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Eliyahu Navi. I think it's a very, very critical message as well in terms of how to react. There's no question that when seeing Chil Shabbos, it should pain us. And sadly, perhaps we ourselves are so desensitized to it because of how often we've seen it that we don't feel the pain that we should. Perhaps we ourselves are lacking in that regard. In terms of the reaction that is expected of us, if even Eliyahu Navi, who was pure L'shem Shemayim, was criticized for his kanos, then alachas kama v'kama, those of us who are incapable of being pure L'shem Shemayim, the correct approach is b'kol d'mamadaka, the avosos ahava and the dvar mrakim, to be mekarev others through love and Ahavas Israel.